Good morning, Northwoods family. We are so excited to be here having church with you in your home today. You know, take the time right now, grab your family, your friends, your pets, your coffee, your donuts, whatever you need to cozy up for this special service that we have planned just for you today. And you know, if at any point during the service you need prayer, we have a team standing by to pray with you. So jump on over to northwoods.online and click that request prayer button, and one of our team members would absolutely love to pray with you this morning. And we recognize that you might have some kids with you this morning, and that might feel chaotic, and that's okay. We actually have some resources just for you and your kids this morning. If they want to watch a different video for service, we have Discovery Land Online. There are new videos for kids ages toddlers through sixth grade. And if your kiddos are going to join you for service this morning, we also have a PDF with some kids' sermon notes that they can do. So hopefully you've heard about that from Discovery Land over the last few weeks. You can get that printed off and they can take notes and mark things like, how many times does Pastor John say Holy Spirit in his message? And there's also a coloring page related to Pastor John's message this morning. So we're so excited to worship with you. Let's just pray to get started. Jesus, I just thank you so much for this morning. And we thank you for the gift of your son that we celebrated yesterday. Lord, I thank you that because of that gift, the Holy Spirit is with us 24/7. So Spirit, we just invite you this morning to join us in our homes and to guide us through worship and teaching. In Jesus' name, amen.
Praise. Let praise be a weapon that silences the enemy. Let praise be a weapon that conquers all anxiety. Let it rise. Let praise arise. We sing your name in the dark, it changes everything. We sing with all we are and claim your victory. Let it rise. Let praise arise. We'll see you break down every wall. We'll watch the giants fall. Fear cannot survive when we praise you. The God of breakthroughs on our side. Forever lift him high, with all creation cry, God we praise you. Oh, we praise you. Oh, let faith be the song that overcomes the raging sea. Let faith be the song that calms the storm inside of me. Let it rise, let faith arise. We'll see you break down every wall. We'll watch the giants fall. Fear cannot survive when we praise you. The God of breakthroughs on our side. Forever lift him high. With all creation cry, God, we praise you. Oh, we praise you. Oh, we praise you. Oh, we praise you. Oh, we praise you. This is what freedom feels like. This is what heaven sounds like. We praise you, we praise you. This is what living looks like. This is what freedom feels like. This is what heaven sounds like. We praise you, we praise you. This is what living looks like. This is what freedom feels like. This is what heaven sounds like. We praise you, we praise you. This is what living looks like. This is what freedom feels like. This is what heaven sounds like. We praise you, we praise. We'll see you break down every wall. We'll watch the giants fall. Fear cannot survive when we hold the God. The God of breakthroughs on our side. Forever lift him up. With all creation cry, God, we praise you. Oh, we praise you. Oh, we praise you. Oh, we praise you. Oh, we praise you.
Lord, you are mighty. We give you the praise today.
Just one word, you calm the storm that surrounds me. Just one word, the darkness has to retreat. Just one touch, I feel the presence of heaven. Just one touch, my eyes are open to see. My heart can't help but believe. There's nothing that our God can't do. There's not a mountain that He can't move. Oh, praise the name that makes a way. There's nothing that our God can't do. Just one word, you heal what's broken inside me. Just one word, and you revive every dream. Yes, you do. Just one touch, I feel the power of heaven. Just one touch, my eyes are open to see. My heart can't help but believe it. There's nothing that our God can't do. There's not a mountain that He can't move. Oh, praise the greater things. There's no power like the power of Jesus. Let faith arise. Let all agree. There's no power like the power of Jesus. I will believe for greater things. There's no power like the power of Jesus. Let faith arise. Let all agree. There's no
right. Well, as we transition and get ready for Pastor John's message, we just have a few things that we want to let you know about today. First of all, if you are new and this is your first time joining us at Northwoods, we are so glad that you're here tuning in with us today. And I invite you to pull out your phone and text the word new to the number that's going to show up on your screen. That's actually going to put you in contact with a real pastor who would love to get to know you and help you feel more connected at the church. And you know, if you've been around for a while, you hear us ask every weekend, and this weekend is no different. Pull out the Northwoods app and fill out the connection card. Again, we would love to know how we can be praying for you and how we can help you get better connected at the church. If you have kids joining you this morning, we know that that can be crazy. And so this might be a good time for you to get out those guided kids sermon notes that we have, or to maybe hand them the iPad and say, hey, why don't you go watch Discoveryland online to keep them entertained during the service today. We love those resources and we love being able to help you care for your kids and bring them closer to Jesus. Well, it is close to the end of the year, which is crazy. And we are so blessed to be a part of such a generous church. Truly, your generosity blesses us so much, and it allows us to do everything that we do here at Northwoods. So this is just a friendly reminder that we are past the deadline for year-end gifts to be mailed into the church. But if you would like to give online for 2021, you can still do that through December 31st. Just go to the link on your screen or use any of our online giving tools. Well, as we keep going, if there's anything that comes up that you need prayer for, we have a live team standing by who would love to pray with you. Go on over to northwoods.online if that's not where you're watching from yet, and click on that request prayer button to be connected with someone on our prayer team.
Merry Christmas, Northwoods. Great to be with you as we, the church, gather in homes today. I hope you've not only been enjoying the time with family, but also celebrating the ultimate gift of Jesus. You know, it's on Christmas we celebrate the one who stepped down from heaven and stepped into our broken world. He was born as a baby into a stable, lived a perfect and righteous life, and then 30-some years later, he would die on a cross, having our sin placed on him so that through his perfect life and death, he might earn our salvation. Then he rose from the grave 3 days later, and he's now seated in heaven and is praying continually for us as we go through this life. That, my friends, is not only the reason we celebrate Christmas, but also it is the ultimate gift. We might even say that it's the gift that keeps on giving. You know, back in 1977, Kodak ran an ad as a part of their Christmas advertising that included that slogan, "The gift that keeps on giving." And ever since then, that memorable slogan has stuck. You know, you'll find that slogan used to sell chocolate or jewelry, magazine subscriptions. It's even connected with the Jelly of the Month Club, if you know what reference I'm talking about. We use that term, the gift that keeps on giving. And sometimes it can have a negative connotation attached to it. But understand, we're talking about it in a sense, and there's a positive connotation attached to it. And understand, before Kodak and any other advertisers used that slogan, Jesus was and is the ultimate gift that keeps on giving. And we celebrate him this Christmas. But you know, on the topic of gifts, I want to talk to you today about another gift that God has given us. You know, the Bible talks about the gift of eternal life, the gift of righteousness. He has given us spiritual gifts. But let's look at one other gift, the Holy Spirit. In several places, the Holy Spirit is referred to as a gift or the gift of God. In Acts chapter 2, Jesus has now ascended to heaven. The Holy Spirit has been poured out on the day of Pentecost, and Peter gets up and begins preaching about Jesus and how he is the Savior, how Jesus is the Savior of the world. And in response to Peter's message, the crowd responds, "What should we do?" And I want you to look at what Peter says in Acts 2:38. It says, Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." The gift of the Holy Spirit. Let me give you one more example. Also in Acts, later on, Simon the sorcerer tries to offer the apostles money in exchange for the ability to place his hands on people and have them receive the Holy Spirit. And look at how Peter answers. He said, "May your money perish with you because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money." Well, who's the gift of God likened to here? The Holy Spirit. And as you read through Acts, there are other places where the Holy Spirit is likened to a gift. So if I could title this message, it would be Experiencing the Gift of the Holy Spirit. You know, I've been on a journey in this area over the last several years, and so I want to share with you some of what the Lord has been doing in my life and teaching me in this area, with the sole hope that it would stir up a greater hunger and desire in each of us to experience the Holy Spirit and the power that He releases in and through our lives. You know, shortly after my wife and I got married, we moved into a duplex down in Tennessee. And the area of Tennessee we were living in was serviced by a new internet provider out of Chattanooga. And this company was one of the first to provide residential fiber optic internet. So we're talking, this is back in 2010. This is fast internet at the time. So upon moving in, I was stoked to hook up fiber optic internet with blazing fast speeds so I could start streaming Green Bay Packer games, of course. So long story short, the providers come out and install everything. But soon after, I realized that though I had 50 megs of internet available to me, I was only utilizing about 10. Why? Well, because my Wi-Fi router was limiting the amount of speed I could access. In other words, even though 50 megs of internet were available to me, I was only experiencing about 20% of what my internet could do. And it wasn't until I updated that router that I began to experience the fullness of what was already mine. And I share that because my internet experience resembles the experience of many Christians when it comes to the Holy Spirit. Meaning the Holy Spirit has been piped into our house. We have all of Him we will ever need. He lives in us. But though we know the Bible verses about Him, many times we, through our lives, through our beliefs, we put limits on His power. Look at what the Apostle Paul said in 1 Thessalonians. He said, "Do not quench the Spirit." What's quenching mean? Quenching speaks to the idea of putting out the flame. It's like if you have a gas stove at home, you got the burners on top, right? When you turn that flame on, you can put it on high and let it go to full blast, or you can dial it down and put limits on the flame. That's what quenching is. It's limiting the flame. So in other words, there is a sense in which we can limit the Spirit's power in our life. And many of us do, and consequently, we end up settling for less than the Holy Spirit intends to do through our lives. It's sad to say, but that's been my story for many years. I believed in the power of the Holy Spirit, knew the verses about the Holy Spirit, but somewhere early on, I picked up the idea that when it comes to the power of the Holy Spirit, there are those who have and those who have not. So for many years, I ended up settling for a type of Christianity in which I talked about the Holy Spirit, memorized verses about the Holy Spirit, believed truths about the Spirit, but rarely, if ever, experienced the Spirit and His power in my life. You know, if we look in God's Word, we find that for the Apostle Paul, the Spirit wasn't just a concept, a theory, or an afterthought, but was actually a vital part of Paul's everyday experience. You know, in the New Testament, the word used to describe personal engagement or a significant level of participation in the Greek is the word koinonia, which is often translated as fellowship or participation in our Bibles. So koinonia is more than distant awareness. It's personal experience. For example, my two oldest children, who are 5 and 3, when we drive continually, you know, they're in the back seat, and they continually ask questions about the rules of the road and when we're driving. So they'll ask me if I'm driving the speed limit, to which I reply, pretty close. You just let Dad worry about that. Then they know you can turn right on red, but you can't go straight through red. So they, you know, from the back seat, they're learning about driving. But someday down the road, they're going to move into the driver's seat. And then they will realize and they'll gain a new appreciation for all that goes into operating and driving a vehicle. See, right now, they have a distant awareness of what it means to drive. But the day they step into the driver's seat, they'll have personal experience. That's koinonia, personal experience. And this is the word in two different instances that Paul used to describe our relationship with the Holy Spirit. He said, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship, there's that weird word, of the Holy Spirit be with you all. That's personal experience and engagement with the Spirit of God. Another one, he said, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing, there it is, in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. So for Paul, experiencing the Spirit, having a relationship with the Spirit of God is normal Christianity. It's not just something reserved for certain Christians. This is a privilege you and I have as a born-again child of God. So now what I want you to do is I want to encourage you to take a few minutes here and I want you to reflect on a couple of questions that have been helpful to me in my journey. And these questions come out of a book titled More by Alan Kraft. This book has been very helpful to me and also the inspiration for much of what I'm sharing with you today. And so we're going to put a few questions on the screen and we'll give you a few moments here to just kind of write down some of your thoughts. And then after that time, the worship team here is going to lead us in a song and then I'll come back and share a little bit more with you.
Let's sing this together. Spirit sound, rushing wind, fire of God, fall within. Holy Ghost, breathe on us, we pray. As we repent, turn from sin, revival embers smoldering. Breath of God, fan us into flame. We need a fresh wind, a fragrance of heaven. Pour your Spirit out, pour your Spirit out. Mm. For hearts that burn with holy fear, purified in faith indeed, refine as fire, strengthen what remains. So we the church who bear your light, lamp of flame, city bright, King and kingdom come is what we pray. We need a fresh wind, the fragrance of heaven, pour your Spirit out.
Thanks for leading this team. That, consider that my audition to be a part of the creative arts team in the future. Just joking. No, thanks for leading this. That was good. Now, in this next session of time, I want to lay out a few keys to welcoming the Spirit's power in our lives. Now, just a disclaimer here as we walk through these. Please don't hear me saying there is a formula that you can follow to experience more of the Holy Spirit's work and power in your life. I've just found that the Holy Spirit doesn't operate according to formulas. So understand what I'm trying to get at today is the sense in which we can cultivate an atmosphere in which we're inviting the Holy Spirit to release more of His power in and through our lives. So when I talk about keys to experiencing the Holy Spirit, it carries the sense of cultivating an atmosphere in which He is welcome. So here's key number one, thirst. So let's look at a passage here that speaks to this idea. It says in the Bible, "On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, 'Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them.' By this, he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive." Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, right? Since Jesus had not yet been glorified. So that's John 7, 37 through 39. So here we are at the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles. Jesus stands and likens the Spirit to rivers of living water. Now understand, he didn't liken the Spirit to just a little drip, a little trickle, a creek, a stream. He said rivers. But I want you to notice the prerequisite Jesus gives. Anyone who is thirsty. Thirst is what opens the door to experiencing the Holy Spirit. Now, yes, Jesus is talking about the moment of our conversion when the Holy Spirit takes up residence in us. But his language talks about a continual invitation. In one sense, if the thirst is there, we can always drink more deeply of the Holy Spirit. You know, one of my favorite Christmas movies is Home Alone. I'm guessing some of you have watched those this holiday season. And in Home Alone 1, there's one moment where Kevin puts toy cars at the bottom of the stairs, and both Marv and Harry come running and they wipe out on them. And as they're laying on the floor, Kevin is sitting at the top of the stairs and he says, "You guys give up or you're thirsty for more?" And listen, that's my question. Are you thirsty for more? Or have you just kind of grown content in your walk with the Lord? Are you thirsty for a greater release of the Spirit's power in your life? So that's key number one, thirst. Let me give you another key here, continual asking. Let me show you a couple of passages. Jesus speaking says, "So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion?" So this passage we often use to teach on prayer. We know we'll preach about keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. We have a good Father and we shouldn't give up in our prayers. And there's nothing wrong with that application. However, we often overlook what Jesus was encouraging us to ask for. Look what he goes on to say in verse 13. "If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" He's talking about asking for the Holy Spirit. And yes, again, I understand that at this point, the Holy Spirit had not yet come because Jesus had not yet left. But again, look at his language. He doesn't appear to be telling us to just ask, seek, and knock as our initial response to the gospel. It speaks of continual asking, continual seeking, continual knocking. I believe there's a sense in which we should be persistent in asking for a greater release of the Spirit's power in our lives. And we're not doing this so we become great or get the spotlight, but it's so that we might bring glory to God in all that we do. Let me give you another scripture that speaks to this idea of continual asking. Look at the Apostle Paul's prayer in Ephesians 1 and verse 17. He said, "I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you may know him better. So think about that. Here's Paul, and he says, I keep asking. If Paul is writing to believers whom the Spirit of God already resides in, isn't it interesting that he says he keeps asking that they would be given the spirit of wisdom and revelation? I think there's a sense here in which Paul is saying there's always more that the Holy Spirit wants to release in our lives. In this instance, it's wisdom and understanding so that ultimately we would know God better. You know, when I think about asking, I think about my own kids. There's a lot of things they've asked for Christmas, but many times their asking indicates their depth of longing. For example, there have been times I have introduced our oldest, Ariana, who's 5, to different sports, like basketball, we'll play in the driveway, or soccer and softball in the yard. And she's asked to be signed up to start playing all 3 of those sports. But before I just assign my Saturdays away to those events, I'm going to wait to see if there's one she continually asks to do. Because if that happens, in that instance, her asking will indicate a depth of longing and desire. And here's the point. I believe that the Holy Spirit wants to be wanted. And it's our asking that indicates our desire for a greater release of His power in our lives. So there's thirst, continual asking. Let me give you the last key, eager desire. And this comes right out of what the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians after discussing the gifts of the Spirit. So not only is the Holy Spirit the gift of God, but He has gifts that He releases in our lives. Gifts like prophecy, healing, faith, miracles, etc. So Paul outlines those and then shares that love is always the aim of the exercise of these gifts. But then look at what he says in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 1. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. So there it is, eager desire. Now, what does eager desire look like? Well, let me ask you, what do you do when you want something? I think back to the time I found out when Michaela, who is now my wife of over 11 years, was single. The first semester of college, she was dating some bum from back home. But when I found out she was single, there was an eager desire that kicked in. What did I do? I certainly didn't wait around for her to come seek me out. No, I started making moves. I was talking with her roommates, getting the inside scoop. I started, I don't want to say this, but I was stalking her on Facebook. I immediately got her instant messenger name. If you did the instant AIM thing back in the day and started talking with her online, and then I asked her to dinner and the rest is history. But that's the point. Eager desire isn't just waiting around for something to be dropped on your doorstep. It's a pursuit of something that you long for. Paul says that's the attitude we should have when it comes to the Holy Spirit and the power He releases in and through our lives. So we just looked at 3 keys, and I want you to see that if you have surrendered your life to God, yes, you've been given the gift of the Holy Spirit. He resides in you. But I also hope you notice there's always more the Spirit wants to release in our lives. In that sense, the Holy Spirit is the gift that keeps on giving. We never get to the place in our experience with the Holy Spirit where we say, well, I've reached the end, it's all tapped out. He's all tapped out. There's always more the Holy Spirit wants to release. Do you desire that? So, let me give you a few questions to reflect on here for the next few moments, and then the worship team will sing one more song, and then I will come back and give a quick update on the upcoming fast and then close us out. So let's take a few moments to reflect. Now, during the break, I hope you had some good time in reflection and in worship, but I was also, Nathan just let me know here that I had said the Holy Spirit 49 times. Now, that makes it 50, And I'll say it one more time here, Holy Spirit. So that's 51 for our time today, if any of the kids were keeping count. Now, before we close out, I want to remind you that coming up in January, on January 3rd, we will be kicking off our 21 days of fasting and prayer. And this year we've themed those 21 days, the blessed year. And through the fast, we will be walking through the longest chapter in the Bible. You know what it is? Psalm 119. And we'll have daily devotional videos with Pastor Cal and myself, worship songs with the team, and we will make a guided journal available in print that you can pick up or online. And you'll be able to access all the resources that I just mentioned, the journal, the worship videos, and more, including helpful tips to help you prepare and plan for the fast. You can access all of these resources online at northwoods.church/blessed year. But in advance of the fast, I want to encourage you to spend some time with the Lord and ask Him how He would have you engage in the fast this year. In Isaiah 58, God reminded His people that the acceptable fast is the one that He has chosen. Arthur Wallace, who was a great Bible teacher and writer, once said, "Fasting, like prayer, must be God-initiated and God-ordained if it is to be effective." So as we lead up to this fast, spend some time in prayer and begin to ask the Lord, "Lord, how would you have me engage in this upcoming fast?" And just begin to write out what you sense the Lord speaking to you. Northwoods, I hope you have had a Merry Christmas. And from all of us here at Northwoods, we want to wish you a Happy New Year. And I hope you will join us as we kick off the new year live and in person on Sunday, January 2nd. As we close out our time this morning, let me just say a quick prayer for you. So Lord, again, I thank you for this time that we, the church, can gather together in homes and worship you, Lord, and thank you and celebrate the gift of Jesus. But also we thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. And I pray that you would stir up in us a greater hunger and desire to see a greater release of the Spirit's power in our lives. Holy Spirit, we want to live lives where you are welcome to move. And so, Lord, we just look forward to 2022. I pray that you would be speaking to us as we spend time with you, asking how you would want us to engage in the fast this year. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Northwoods, thanks again for joining us. Blessings to you and your family.